Hi, friends. This is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie, and this is the Type A Hippie podcast, Chicast, episode 25. Can't believe we're already at 25 episodes. So I am here with Carrie Connolly, and it's so funny how the divine allows people's paths to cross, or my paths to cross with other people that are now part of the tapestry of my life. And so she and I were actually on a call about a volunteer opportunity, a political volunteer opportunity, I'll put it that way. And she mentioned a little bit about who she is. And I was like, I need to talk to her and I want her on my podcast. And so I interrupted kind of the call, right, Carrie? And I was just like, yes. Please connect us offline. That's fine. But just make sure you connect us. And then within the week, we were connected and we chatted for a little while, actually, and decided that we have so much in common. So we're going to talk.
Yeah.
So Carrie, welcome. Welcome. Thank so glad you. You're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. This is fun. I can't wait to talk with you more.
Totally. Well, we're going to take this friendship offline, like, and talk for real.
Oh,
we'll
have to, for sure.
We'll have to hang out. So she also has this cool blog called Jersey Girl Jesus, and it's Faith with Attitude, which I like because it sounds like, Carrie, you're a little sweet and spicy. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm from Jersey. First of all, I have no idea how to pump my own gas, which is going to be a problem when I go to California or the West Coast next week. But yeah, so I am a blogger, Christian coach, blogger, writer, and speaker. So I'm a progressive Christian. I'm super concerned with issues of social justice and, you know, just stream of consciousness right now. I'm a little, my big thing is I'm just so frustrated with what's going on, you know, in the world and how, Christians are being, represented to the world. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. That's what's at the top of my head. And that's what gets me in trouble a lot when I, say what's on my mind on my blog. And it's also what gets me to meeting cool people like yourself who are like-minded. So, that's what I do.
I love it. So there's some pieces, and there's actually one that I just found that I'm going to read and likely tweet. It says, which one is it, Carrie? It's a more recent one, Orphan Beloved. So that sounds good. So we'll have to dig into that. But there were a couple that I read last week, and I wanted to start with, let's start with the day after inauguration, how millions of people came together in solidarity and unity. In protest, right? For, for though human rights, like all human rights, because that's what I feel like is missing. And that's the gap between some conservative so-called Christian thought, is this missing piece of social justice and human rights. And that just because it doesn't apply to me personally, doesn't mean that it's not for the greater good. And that's the challenge that I find when I speak with people. It's like, well, how did we fall so far off the tracks, right? So you were there. I had pneumonia and laryngitis. So I was marching in spirit. But you were there. So tell me about the energy, the experience.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And you know, the one thing that the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me about energy and the experience is the energy was overwhelmingly positive. You know, everybody there was helpful. Everybody there was, and I want you to understand the how incredibly packed it was, right? So the fact that there were that many people there, that there were so many people there that we couldn't even march, okay? So we just kind of had to lean one way and the tide would come in at the Washington Monument, lean the other way and the tide went in at the Capitol building or whatever. It was just like, it was so incredibly packed that we ended up really almost just kind of standing listening to some of the speakers and the musicians. But my point is that with being that wall to wall filled with humanity, and to have not one single arrest and to not have a single violent episode speaks volumes to the energy and the morale of the people who were there.
Yeah.
And what we, and what we stand for. And I want you to know too that we were not unprovoked, because there were people, there were groups of people, and unfortunately and disgustingly, in my opinion, they were people who claimed to be Christians, who were, you know, reading from the Bible, and they were calling us whores and telling us as women we needed to submit. And those people, we just all walked past them. They may have gotten the finger once or twice, but aside from that, you know, everybody just left them to do what they wanted to do. But for the majority of people there were incredibly kind and helpful. And, it was overall one of the most amazing experiences. I'm so glad that I went, because I really was considering not going, and I'm so glad I went.
That is so awesome. I was just at a bonfire last night with two of my friends, and they are partners, and you know, one was saying that so it's funny, he's a white male and she's a white female, and he was saying how frustrating it was hearing people talk smack, right? People were awful, and they were there as well, and he thought about it and he said, this is my privilege, because for 20 minutes he was berated, right? And he felt like wanting to, you know, punch someone, because it was just so much. And then he thought about it and he said, this has just been 20 minutes. And my skin is so thin compared to, so his partner, someone had said, well, I don't like your sign, but I like you, or whatever. He was just kind of like, screw you, you know, don't talk to her like that type of thing. But you know, and she didn't even notice that part, because that's something that we as women, or those of us that identify as women, I want to be really inclusive, you know, deal with this on a regular basis. And it's funny that you mentioned the being called whores. Like, I have been told, I had an ex-boyfriend who wasn't really following much of the word when we dated initially, and said that I needed to submit to him. And I was like, first of all, you're not submitted to God, so that's not going to happen. Second of all, you are reading this out of context, and so many people that identify as Christian generally read just one book, which is the Word, and don't even really understand that, you know, and pull out what they want and beat people over the head with what they want. And it's tainted with their own experience, you know, and not, I mean, there's no other frame of reference. But yeah. I was reading Glennon Doyle Melton's, she had posted something on Facebook, and I don't know if you follow her or not, but she mentioned that she gets on a regular basis, like death threats and
I saw that.
Horrible, horrible things from so-called Christians. And that's the best way that I can kind of say it, because, you know, this man had called her a see you next Tuesday. And I think we can figure out what that means. And so she said, and then her sister went after him because she's kind of like the gatekeeper. And he had just posted about his newborn daughter, you know, and it's like, there is such an inconsistency. There's so much violence. Even just in with words against women, not to talk about the physical violence, right? Domestic violence. And I'm being gendered in that language. Using gendered language with that, because the statistics show, and I'm I volunteer with Safe House Center here in town in Washtenaw County, and we provide free resources to survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. And so the numbers are definitely skewed towards men being the perpetrators and women yes. being the survivors or victims.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's really, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No,
but
go ahead.
So I've been pondering in a blog post that's going to be coming out probably in the next few weeks. It's still, you know, kind of, I'm ruminating it. I probably just need to go for a run and then it'll all get written. But
sure.
Is when peacekeeping feels violent, you know, because, you know, blessed are the peacekeepers, right? So I know that as a Christian, I am to be a peacekeeper. But what does that actually mean? Because I think I know that Jesus is incredibly concerned with social justice. I know this to be true. You can't honestly read the scripture and not recognize the desire for justice in the heart of Jesus. And so what does, you know, as a white woman, how am I going to be a peacekeeper? And for me, that means I can't be honestly a peacekeeper if I'm not fighting for peace for everyone. And so what happens is that, you know, because as a white woman who lives in suburbia, I'm a soccer mom, I'm one step down from the top of the privilege heap. So what am I going to do to use my privilege to create peace for everyone? And sometimes that peacekeeping feels really violent.
Yep.
Because people, you know, after the march, I had a woman who is a Christian, and I'm not very close with her, but I've known her for many years as an acquaintance. And she came onto my Facebook page and demanded three times, and the language that she used was, explain yourself. What are you marching about? Explain yourself. And I had people go comment on my blog as well. Explain yourself. I don't understand what you're marching for. There were no clear values that you were marching for. And I'm like, you know, all you have to do is go to the website, and the mission of the march is listed right there. And it's sometimes it's that exhausting because so many people, especially people in places of privilege, are not willing to do the work to totally. Even learn about what it is that we were marching about.
It's so true. And it's so funny because so I have two friends that I actually just text messaged. We're in a group text. And so I'm interviewing one on Wednesday. And we actually started the social justice book club that I told you about, Carrie, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So one, Stephanie, she started a podcast, and I'll have to send you her first episode so that you can check it out. We're all very like-minded. And I just said, I'm interviewing her right now. And this is so awesome, you know, because, you know, one thing that we've talked about, the three of us have talked about, is that many people who identify as Christian have no issues whatsoever with the thought of original sin. They know mm-hmm. that it's just a part of their DNA, and mm-hmm. they move forward by having that bridge, right? The bridge to Jesus, essentially, right? And, you know, accepting Jesus into their lives and allowing that to sink in and having a personal relationship with Christ. Not mm-hmm. a problem.
Mm-hmm.
However, privilege, especially when it comes to white privilege, that mm-hmm. becomes an issue. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, that's not my fault. Nobody, we're not talking about blame here. We are talking about what is, and acceptance mm-hmm. and moving forward. I wrote a piece called Podium of Privilege. And one thing I love about John Pavlovitz is that he utilizes his privilege really well. Glennon Doyle Melton, same thing, in terms of, okay, this is where I am. It's not my fault I was born this way, right? Mm-hmm. And what do I do with this? Because the privilege is not for me. You know, mm-hmm. I experience some privilege. It's not the most privilege, but I am able-bodied. You know, mm-hmm. I am free of mental illness. I am average sized. Some mm-hmm. would say I'm petite. I am, my faith perspective is one that is, even though many people also question it too, I believe in Jesus and the social justice activist Jesus, the hippie mm-hmm. Jesus, the mm-hmm. one that welcomed the others. That's the Jesus I believe in. And, mm-hmm. And my aim is to emulate that Jesus, not mm-hmm. the one that is judgmental, but not discerning. Like, judgment and discernment is kind of, they're related. But the one that stands and says, okay, the one that's without sin, throw the first stone. I'm mm-hmm. that Jesus, right? Throwing bombs down with words, being like, okay, what's up now, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that becomes really challenging when you're faced, for example, at a march with a man who's calling you a whore.
Totally.
Right. Like that becomes, because, you know, Jesus says that we have to love him too.
Yep.
And that's the really freaking annoying part of being a Christian.
Totally.
Because, you know, it's easy for me to love, just like it's easy for the woman who asked me to explain myself. It's easy for her to love Donald Trump.
Sure.
It's easy for me to love a drag queen, for right. example, mm-hmm. right? It's not so easy for me to love Donald Trump, and it's not so easy for her to love a drag queen. And so, like, how do we, if the challenging part and the real part of being a Jesus freak, and that's how I like to refer to myself because it feels better than saying I'm a Christian, because
me
Christian,
too.
You know, so just attached to all these horrible things. But, you know, that's the real challenge is how now. And again, it's a balance because it doesn't mean that I'm going to stand back. Loving Donald Trump doesn't mean that I'm going to stand back and not march against what he's trying to do to my country. And, you know, and that's that balance that I'm trying to make is how am I going to balance loving people, but also going, you know, not on my watch, this is not going to happen. And, you know, it's really interesting because as you were talking, I was thinking about a conversation I had with somebody online again about refugees. And they tried to use the story of the Good Samaritan, which I always laugh at. And they were trying to say, you know, well, Jesus may have said, you know, be the Good Samaritan or whatever, but he wouldn't have wanted us to, you know, have gotten beaten up or, you know, hurt by the person we were trying to help and all of this. I mean, it was just going on with nonsense. And
this nonsense.
Right. But the thing about that story, the Good Samaritan, is what is the Samaritan people were the people that the Jews looked down on. Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, they looked, they went so far out of their way to walk around the area of Samaria so that they didn't have to deal with these people because they looked down on them. And that whole story yeah. is not about, you know, oh, look at the good person who helps the poor Samaritan. That story is about how the Samaritan, the person that the exclusive elite looked down on, was the person who found favor with God because he was doing what Jesus's heart says to do, right? He was the one who was helping his enemy. And so it's a subversive. It's not just about the enemy. It's about the outsider coming in and being the one who's actually more in line with what God's heart is than the elite, the insider people. And I think that's such an important part of what so many people, especially right-wing evangelical people these days, are missing. And it breaks my heart. And I'm happy. I was very happy to see that over 100 evangelical leaders did actually sign an open letter that I think it may have already appeared over the weekend in the Washington Post, denouncing the Muslim ban. And that was exciting to me to see.
Yeah, no. And you know what, to your point, it's like, even the fact that someone could say Jesus wouldn't have wanted, that's exactly what happened in his life. The very people that he came to save killed him. So what are they talking about? Like, that's historical, right? That's what happened. And it's interesting to me that people are oftentimes very, very unwilling to look at the truth and see things for what it is. When I was at this bonfire, we say it was a bonfire. There was a bonfire going on in the background, but it was too cold, and it was definitely an indoor event this month. And so we were just talking about, like, people forget, and it's so easy to forget. And then when someone reminds someone, it's like, oh, why are you bringing up old stuff? This is where we are now. Oh, no, we are where we are now because we have forgotten collectively, and there aren't people who are historians, if you will, or people to say, that's not how it happened, you know? Let's tell the truth. I watched Hidden Figures yesterday, and it is such an amazing movie. And I vacillated between this sense of pride and my heart just being ready to burst in the best way possible. And this deep sadness and soul sickness of it's 2017 and we're still protesting and we're still talking about some of the same things because people are so unwilling to look at the truth and see the truth for what it is. Because there was racism. It was in 1961, 62, mm-hmm. when there was segregation. And a young white girl would call an older black woman girl or, you know, by her first name. And the black woman who was older and could have birthed this person would call the other one Miss or Mrs., And there was a scene that was really poignant. And so Dorothy Johnson, she was running. She would have to run from the main building of NASA because they hired her. She got the assignment because of her brain. Like, she was incredibly brilliant. And she ran. She would have to run all the way to the West Computing Site wing where all the black women were. And that was the colored, that was where the only colored bathroom was. And she had asked her colleague, where is a ladies' room? And she said, oh, honey, I don't know where your bathroom is. And so she would run. And there was this especially, so this last time that it happened, she's dripping wet because it's raining. So Carrie, it's like torrential downpour. She has no umbrella. And she would run because it was a half a mile away from where she was working with all the calculations. So she would run over there and run back. And the boss was like, where are you? And where do you go every day for 40 minutes? And she said, I had to go relieve myself. And he was like, what? And she just went off. And I was like, good, good. It's finally time to for him to know the truth. And so it goes from there that that was the end of that in, you know, at NASA. And I don't know if that's historically correct, but it was just, you know, there are so many things that people, and I'll say the women that didn't march, and I can't speak for all, but many have failed to remember because they weren't born then what things were like, you know. And this idea of even suffrage, the women's suffrage, because there was racism within that, sadly, you know, because a lot of white women were like, oh, well, we got to focus on ourselves right now. We can't, you know.
A lot of the suffrage movement was, there were a lot of abolitionists who were also involved in suffrages in the suffragette movement. But a lot of suffragettes became suffragettes because the idea that black men would be able to vote and they couldn't really bothered them. And sure. So unfortunately, yes, you're right. Feminism and has a long history of racism and that's very unfortunate.
Yes, it does. And it's sad because I even read some pieces in different cities where there was such dissension, you know, between women of color and white women. And this isn't to take away from the beauty and the goodness of all of it. And it's still something that we need to think about and work through, you know, because if we are, you know, and that the march was a demonstration, even with the stuff that didn't go well in it, right?
Yes.
It was an overwhelming demonstration of the beauty and good that still exists. And you know, I'm a hopeful person. So I believe that as we vacillate between self-care and being a thorn in the sides of the people in Washington and not backing down and contacting our senators and, you know, working with brand new Congress and doing things differently and staying strong and remembering that this is a marathon, right? Yeah. Not a sprint. And working with each other, we can do something very, very positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important to, and again, this comes back to my faith, but I think it's important to offer grace, you know, to each other as we try to work this all out. And I'm very passionate, and I don't know how this is going to start opening up in my life. Yeah, but I think it will in some way. But I'm very passionate about starting the conversation about racism with among white women, right? Because I think it's us who need to start initiating change in this movement of feminism, you know, and our black friends and sisters, we can't put the burden on them anymore to teach us. We have to start learning the lessons, and we have to start having these conversations. And, you know, part of the reason that I almost didn't go to the march was because when I first, when it first got started, it was such a like spur of the moment, you know, damn it, I'm really mad. I'm going to put something up and have a march, you know, and it started off as that and word got out as it spread, and it started to sound like it was going to be a big unorganized mess. But and one of the big unorganized messy parts of it was this idea that there was very little diversity on the among the team that was organizing it. But, you know, I think that that's very true, especially as a white woman who, you know, is constantly awakening to the way racism has been implanted in me, and, you know, and I need to constantly be deconstructing that and figuring it out, they eventually got there. They eventually did the right thing, and they moved on over, and they made room, and they stepped aside to create a more diverse organizational team. And that was when I decided to go. I also found out that they were going to have bathrooms, and that was another big reason. Let's not make myself look all that great, you know, but you know, that was a really big reason why I was like, okay, I can now be a part of this. And I think, and my point to that is, we have to offer grace as we try to do better, because we're always trying to do better, you know, and I hope, anyway, most of us are. And so we have to allow enough grace to let ourselves do better. And that means to ourselves and to each other.
Right. It's so true. And you're right. There is, you know, I go back and forth sometimes. Sometimes I'm very angry and I feel like it's a righteous anger. And other times I'm just like, you know what? I can just unfollow this person. That's better for my sanity. Right. Like, I'm not going to, because the thing is, I feel like I can draw more in when, how do I put it? There is this, you know, the idea of, like, you get more with honey than with vinegar. And at the same time, sometimes vinegar is the most appropriate thing. That's what the recipe calls for. And so it's a back and forth, right? It's a dance. And so, it's interesting with some of my girlfriends, like when stuff is going down seriously and on Facebook, right? And there's a difference of opinion, and we mob deep because we support one another and we amplify one another's voices, even though we're in different places, right? And that is no different than if we're in real life. So I get to step up and say, okay, Carrie has something to say, and why you're talking over her, that's not appropriate. Our house, our rules, like, we don't tolerate that because we're not talking over you. There's no point in shouting right now. Like, we're just having a conversation. And if you don't want to talk about what we're talking about, because you're not going to hijack this conversation. Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about right now. If you want to start another thread, we can definitely start another thread or start another conversation. But right now we're going to focus on this. And we're going to be accurate and factual about what the discussion, we're not going to start adding all these alternative facts, because I don't believe in those. You know, we're going to keep it on topic and we're going to move forward. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I started this podcast, is like, we're going to have difficult conversations. You know, I left Vegas and I didn't realize how, as much as it is Vegas, it's conservative in many regards. And, you know, when I started posting political stuff on my personal Facebook page on Friday, January 20th, because I said, you know what, I'm going to be a posting political patriot. This is how I'm going to do it from now on. And I'm going to keep it real and not do just love and light and yoga and essential oils, right? Because I need to be authentic and transparent. And right now my heart is hurting. So I, you know, thankfully the divine allowed me to connect with other people who felt similarly, you know, and that was a beautiful thing. And so then we started the Social Justice Book Club, and things have been moving in a good direction.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like it, and it can't be that every day. It mm-hmm. just cannot be. I mean, I have to be talking about oils and smoothie recipes and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, all this other stuff, my nephews and like the other stuff too. And yet this is important. And because I'm not going anywhere, I'm a U.S. citizen. So mm-hmm. anyone who tells me to go somewhere else is like, no, you start. You go
somewhere
else.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny because when I started my coaching business, I was part of a mastermind group and I wasn't sure back then. It was a couple of years ago. And I wasn't sure, do I call myself a Christian coach or do I call myself, you know, like just a regular coach? What kind of coach am I? Like, what am I really trying to do here? And how do I want to show up in the world? And at the same time, also, I was on staff at my church and I had been specifically asked to not post about certain things, my opinions about certain things as a leader in my church. And that was another reason why I decided to leave staff, because I really was starting to feel like it was time to step into my voice. And it took me, I split the room that day at that mastermind, and it became this huge argument among the people. No, you should never call yourself a Christian. Yes, you should call yourself a Christian. And I just kind of stepped back and I was like, whoa, this is intense, you know, and I still didn't know what to do. But eventually I was like, you know what? No, this is who I am. And I've never been the type, like, if you know me, what you see is what you get. Like everybody, like my trainer, I'm a kickboxer. My trainer was like, oh, I know you. If you have a problem, you're going to come to me and be like, I have a problem with that. And I'm going to go tell Shihan. And that's exactly the way I am. Right. You know who I am when you get me. And I wanted to do that in my business too. And so I have come completely out. Like I am out there as far as what my thoughts are, what my feelings are. And I have lost family members for it. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, definitely had, and it's really interesting because I have so many, and they were all men, I have to say, people come onto my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, and tell me that I need to stop talking about political stuff. Sure. In fact, one man actually said to me, this is what I would prefer to see on your Facebook page, as if he had complete ownership of my space. And I was just like, okay, you need to brace yourself. And I want you to really steel yourself against this, because I know it's going to be a shock to your system, but my Facebook page does not exist for your entertainment.
That's right.
And he got so mad and he just was like, oh, fine. You're going to make fun of me. I'm leaving. But I was amazed. I was just amazed at how people think it's totally okay to tell me to shut up. And I'm also amazed at how once you find your voice, right, and once you start speaking out, how many people have come up to me, even people that I would never think felt the same way, would come up to me maybe at a networking event or something, and they would whisper in my ear and they would say, thank you. You got your blog got me through the election. It helped me realize that I'm not alone. It helped me. Thank you so much. And those are the people who keep me going. And because I get a lot of hate on my blog and the private comments, and also I get a lot of hate, but I those are the people who keep me going.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I saw this on my friend Becky's page today, and she says, if someone suggests that you aren't beautiful, and you can fill in the blank with whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You can consider how sad it is that they have such a limited view of beauty. You can consider how unfortunate it is that they have such an exaggerated sense of self-importance that they think you should care about what they think. And that's Reagan Chastain.
I love that.
Right? It's so true. And the thing is, it's like, I don't exist for you. I really don't. And I'm going to take up all the space. I record a guided meditation weekly, and I'm behind. I need to do it today, but for this week, usually I do it on Sundays. And last week, I think, or a couple weeks ago, it was space and taking up all the space, you know. And I've learned the hard way that it's important for me. Like it's not honoring anyone. It's like that Marianne Williamson quote, right? Mm-hmm. To play small, you know. And I have done it for some time, and I've started to shift. In that arena where I just don't play small so that you feel more comfortable around me. Like, you need to do your own work. And I loved what you said about white women and white men doing their work and not relying on people of color or other marginalized communities. The LGBTQ, QIA, our family there, you know, even immigrant and or, you know, our Muslim family to, you know, ask these questions and anything like that, because it's like, I've done a lot of work in my life for a lot of different things. And not because, I mean, even, I mean, one of my privileges is I'm straight, right? And I realized after Orlando that I wasn't utilizing that privilege appropriately. I wasn't leveraging it. I wasn't speaking out against things as I could have been for that community of people that I consider family, right? And so this idea of, you know, to your point about love, like, I am you and you are me. There are no others. There's no us versus them. And so when I start to think about that, and I really ingrain, because it's very easy to divide and to, this is my team, that's your team. I have nothing to say to anyone, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's not always the best way. I think sometimes for self-care, I may need to retreat. I'm very introverted, and so that is what I need to do, and or retreat to small group, you know, like to safe spaces. And then I'm able to go back out into the world and be the activist that I was created to be. And it's not true. It's not to be silent, right? It's not to be silent.
No, no. You do. You have to take care, but you have to take care of yourself. Self-care is so incredible. I've been taking, you know, more than my fair share of bubble baths lately, trust me. But, you know, the human brain is built to categorize. It's the way we make sense out of our lives, right? And so, and this was really driven home for me. I was taking an cultural anthropology class many, many years ago, and it just happened to be focused on the Middle East. And one of the things that they the professor was explaining to us is about how we tend to categorize. So, for example, and when culturally speaking, we put things in different categories sometimes. And so, for example, here in the United States, we put dogs in the category of pet, where in other cultures, dog might be in the category of food, right? And so that's a huge culture clash, is when we put things in different categories. But I think one of the most dangerous things that the human mind can do is to put humans into these very solid categories, right? Because when we do that, it's what can cause so many problems that we're seeing in the world today, you know, problems like the marginalization of people of color or LGBTQ, of Muslims, of all of these people that are not part of the mainstream. And to have, I know we probably don't want to get too political, but to have a government that is politicizing the marginalization of these people intentionally and on purpose, it's going to take great energy and intention and purpose on our part to fight against that, because our brains want to go there naturally, right? So we have to pray diligently, constantly, and we have to constantly be on the lookout for the automatic categorization that happens in our brains and make sure we're not doing that. Because otherwise we'll get brainwashed.
Yeah.
And I think it's super important.
That is such a great point, that I call it the onslaught of, like, psychological warfare, assault, trauma, because at a certain point, I mean, there's so much information coming at us. A lot of it is not true. And we have an administration where the head lies all the time, right? And so we're being told that their inauguration had the most people, when factually that's just false. I mean, the day after your inauguration did have more people than your inauguration. That is true, right? And so, and then, on top of that, why are we even talking about numbers? That's not a thing, and that's not important, right? There are more pressing issues that we need to resolve as a nation than TV ratings and who showed up where, you know, right. that's just foolishness. And so we get fatigued, right? There's this almost protest fatigue where it's like, oh gosh, like we're still like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? You know, there's this confusion that happens, to those of us that are activists. And so, yeah, self-care, I'm always an advocate of self-care. And then we still do the work, right? We do our personal work and we do collective work together and we support one another, even people that we may not agree with. And some people definitely do not need to be a part of my life. That is the truth, because they're not healthy. They're not safe. And it just doesn't make any sense. And then there are others that I may not agree with politically, yet we have so many other things that we can discuss. And if things come up and it makes sense to provide some context, like if someone's saying something just patently false, I'm going to correct them if we're friends, you know, and if it makes sense, generally in a one-on-one or a smaller conversation, social media can be sometimes seemingly a good thing in terms of having these discussions. And oftentimes it goes sideways.
Yes.
You know, and so, yeah, it's so interesting to me how, and this is the thing, people like us understand the intersectionality of our multiple identities, right? And the administration that is currently in office, sadly, does not understand. And they seemingly have very black and white thinking that is not consistent with American values at all. And Correct. Some people will challenge me on that, and I really don't care. That's not up for debate, because it's just what I'm saying is true. Because it's just true, you know? And that's, you know, that's kind of where we are. And we do need more people to speak up and speak out. And it's not even I need to explain myself, because I'm like, who are you? I don't need to explain myself to you. You can read.
Right.
You know, if we want to have a conversation that's healthy, that's one thing, but it doesn't really seem like your motivation or your intention is for dialogue. Right. To explain something to you.
I have some pretty strict personal rules that I use, especially when I'm engaging on social media. And that is that, number one, I have a lot of friends who feel directly opposite than how I feel.
Sure.
I do not engage them. I will post whatever the heck I want to post on my own wall. I am very careful to post, like, I don't even post things from far left sites, because some of them are just as bad as the far right stuff.
That's
You know, so I am very careful to try and only post things that are, I probably don't do this perfectly, but I do things that are fact checked. And so I do try to do that. The one thing I don't do is I do not engage when other people post stuff on their wall. I don't engage them. I let them do whatever they want. But when one of them comes onto my page and starts an argument with me, you can be damn sure that I am going to take them up and call out whatever idiocy they are putting on my page. If that's the intent, because a lot of times that's their intent. They're just there to harass me.
That's right.
If they're there to have an honest dialogue, I'll have an honest dialogue with them. But a lot of and the same thing goes on my blog. If you're just going to post something stupid, then I ignore you. If you post something ignorant, I'll try to, you know, explain, I'll try to talk with you about it. And if you just post something outright offensive, it gets deleted. So those are my personal rules for engaging. And sometimes I purposefully don't look at my comments for a long time, because sometimes it's an emotional thing to step out the way I've been stepping out. And so sometimes I just don't read the comments for a while.
I agree. There were a couple instances where people that I've not had disagreement with in over 10 years that I knew when I lived in Las Vegas came for me, and in major ways, you know, and I was just like, no, we're not talking about, well, and first of all, you're not going to hijack. I mean, I posted about ACA, and my rule is we're not going to call it O-Care, You know what I'm saying? Because that's racist. And I believe it was done intentionally to detract. So we're not going to do that on my page. Call it what you want anywhere else. And then this woman out of nowhere that I used to teach a Christ-centered yoga class, she was part of that. And so she said, she brought up Medicaid fraud. And I was like, first of all, we're not talking about Medicaid fraud. So please. Secondly, right. You're a provider. You're a social worker now. And some of the patients that you're going to be working with are going to be on ACA and affected. You might want to take a look at that, right?
Yeah.
You know, same thing with, I posted something about Vice President Biden and his support for, his support against, at the time, the GOP candidate who was talking badly about PTSD. And then someone said, well, for the last 8 years, veterans have been treated poor. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this one thing, and you are just coming here to argue. So my house, my rules, we're going to shut it down. And I finally said to one guy, you're not going to pee on my kale salad and tell me it's a new kind of crouton. And right, you're just not going to do that because you wouldn't come to my house and just start shouting in my face. And that's essentially what you're doing.
Right.
So let me make sure that you know that this isn't going to get normalized. Your behavior is inappropriate and is abusive. And he was like, oh, now I'm an abuser because I don't agree with you. No, but you didn't come here to disagree and us agree to disagree or us have dialogue. You came to be abusive. And so he's like, don't worry about it. I'm getting out now. And I was like, well, that's what you said a week ago when we had a disagreement. We've already gone through this. And then by the time I was ready to post, he had blocked me. Like, he completely blocked me. And I was like, oh, that's appropriate. You know, because it was going to be the thing, though, you know?
Right. Yeah. The thing, though, that I really hate to see is, you know, because many of us on, and I hate to say on this side, but that's unfortunately the way it kind of feels. We're not much better. And I've seen people that who ideologically I agree with, but who are going on and calling Trump supporters stupid and, you know, and that's not, first of all, it's not helpful. No, it's certain. It's and not. Some of these people call themselves Christians and they call themselves progressive Christians. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's not Christ-like and that's not helpful. And I really try not to do that. I've even, you know, I can be snarky. I'm from Jersey. I can be totally snarky, trust me. And I am snarky in my private life with my friends and family because I'm not perfect, but I really try hard not to do that online. Even when it's just so tempting, cause it can really funny sometimes, but I really try not to. I don't always succeed, I'll be honest, but you know, because I think and you know, I had a problem when President Obama, who I absolutely just adored, and he was treated so abysmally.
Oh yeah, totally.
And that was completely racism involved there. And I remember I had the most amazing opportunity to hear a woman by the name of Frances Hesselbein speak. I got to spend the day with her one day, and she was the leader of the Girl Scouts for many years. I won't go into her whole thing, but she's a really amazing woman. If you Google her, you'll learn all about her. But and she told a story about how she was hanging out with all of these, because she's famous like this, right? So she was hanging out at a table with all of these top CEOs of all of these major companies that you would know, right? And she mentioned who they were. And President Obama had just probably gotten into office. And they all started saying horrible things about him. And she said, it was so clear that it was driven by racism. And she said, she finally said, and it was at some kind of award ceremony. And she said, they finally stopped talking. And she said, excuse me, gentlemen, but you know, I don't know about you, but that's my president. And whether you agree with his policies or not, he is still your president. And just for the fact that he is your president, he deserves your respect. And she's like, because that is the president of the United States. And she walked off. She said, thank God then the program started. And then I was able to run as, now she was like 90 something years old, so running is relative, but she started going down the hallway, and one of those men came up to her with tears in his eyes and said, Miss Hasselbein, you were completely correct, and I'm so sorry, I apologize, you know, and he had really been changed, you know, as a result of that. But now, I mean, now it's so hard for me because I really, and I have in the past during the campaign, you know, made some disparaging comments about the man who has been elected president of this country by other people, not me. And, you know, I have to be really careful because if I'm going to be the person who has the integrity with myself that I want to be, I have to be very careful to call him out and to not let him off the hook, but not call him the ego Cheeto anymore like I want to.
Right. No, it's definitely true. And at the same time, I have been able to hone my voice personally with all of my identities, and I shut stuff down. Like, I moderate my page in a way that I feel really proud of, because it's like, if you came to my home, there are rules of etiquette and decorum that are acceptable, and there are things that are unacceptable. So if you come here and you just defecate somewhere, like, that is not you know what I mean?
And
the sad thing is, people don't understand that typing behind the in the privacy of your, you know, on your laptop, on your desktop, on your phone, the same rules apply. And people forget that in social media. So people say things that would result in a physical assault against the person that said it or initiated the discourse that don't occur in the online realm, right?
Yeah.
So we just don't put up with that. Like, my friends and I, we just nip it in the bud right away. Now, if there's conversation, yes. But we're not going to, because part of the play is the privilege that someone can just kind of drop a proverbial bomb, whatever it is, right? And run away. And it's like, no, we're not going to do that, because too many marginalized communities, it's like, this is the problem we see. Someone else that's not comes in, says something, totally takes the concern in a different direction. And now we're not even talking about what we originally, right? And so we've been really aware of that. And you're absolutely right. It can be a challenge. And that's why sometimes it taking a deep breath, stepping away, running, yoga, essential oils, eating something, you know, being hangry is not a joke. Like, that is a real thing.
I know.
I've said worse than whatever you said, Cheeto. I'll have to text you what I've said. So it's not, you know, we're not all perfect.
Right.
And we're here because we're not all there, all of us, you know, and it's just varying degrees. And so you and I could talk for probably ever.
Yes.
Yet I'm sure you have a client that needs you, and I have other stuff as well on my agenda. So, Carrie, thank you so much for being on the CheeCast. I so appreciate this, and we'll talk again. We'll probably have you come on again.
I would love it. And is it okay, really quickly, if I just mention people can go to the Jersey Veggies website? And you can also check out thewholewomansummit.com, because we're going to be continuing a conversation around social justice at that summit, which is a virtual summit I'm hosting with a bunch of amazing women in March. And I would love if you and some other of your readers or your listeners, rather, would come on over and check us out. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, that's awesome. And thank you for reminding me. And all of that, friends, will be on the show notes. So I will put you in contact so that you can connect with Carrie. Her blog is amazing. She has a lot of good insight and just sharing her own experience from where she sits, you know, and then also that Women's Summit sounds fantastic. So definitely head over there. It will be in the show notes. And I found three stories that I think are pretty amazing. So actually, you know what? I feel like I've read these before. So I found two more stories. All right. So this is a gal that appears, a person that appears to be a gal. Her, I just love these pictures. So she says, I make stop motion animations with miniature busts of human heads. And then there's another person that appears to be a woman on a street in New York City. And it says, I've completed a series of monumental size drawings in ballpoint pen of girls who have killed their mothers. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
And, right? And then we'll do two more short ones. So one gal, she says, I'm a spiritual healer. My mom was a spiritual healer and her mom was a spiritual healer. When asked, what's one thing about yourself that you haven't been able to heal? And she says, I'm sterile.
Oh, wow.
And then finally, a couple is holding a newborn baby. And they said, he's 1 day old. I still can't believe that he's real and that he came out of me.
Aww.
That's a beautiful, beautiful reminder about life and, you know, how fragile and precious it is, right?
Yes, definitely.
So.
Well, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Totally. And one more thing. So I honor the place within you. Where the entire universe resides, I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in you, and I'm in that place in me, there is only one of us. So thank you so much again, Carrie, for being on with us. And friends that are listening, thank you for listening and for your continued support. I hope to hear from you all very soon. Until next time, have a wonderful, blessed day. Namaste.
Amen.